course, but simply tempered. And in his wisdom, he perceives that Dale is enjoying all this. Lannery's brother says very little over those first few days at the temple, but he exudes a sense of peace that she has not seen in him before. He enjoys witnessing his sister and the other journeyers suffering. They are given several tours of the Anil Kesh temple, which is even larger and more incredible than Lannery thought. Each of its three giant support legs houses a complex honeycomb of living quarters, the structures designed to afford as much strength as possible to the supports. Within the legs are dampeners the size of cloud chasers, designed to absorb the incredible pressures placed on the temple by frequent and violent storms originating in the chasm. Huge tanks of pneumatic fluid are stored at regular intervals, and there are also several access ports in each leg for escape craft. None has ever been used, and their tour guide assures them that none are needed. Everything here is large and amazing, the architectural and engineering talent on display, awe-inspiring. Their guide seems to take some satisfaction in this. The massive central body of the temple is supported by these legs, hanging directly above the chasm. And floating around the temple itself, the Tho-Yor. Hanging by means unknown, it drifts around Anil Kesh, so it is believed, in tune with the Force. This central area is the heart of Anil Kesh. There are several large laboratories here, along with teaching rooms, private studies for temple masters, libraries, hollow suites, and meditation chambers. There are also launch bays from which drones and other equipment are sometimes dropped into the chasm. Lannery is surprised to learn how infrequently this now happens. Every experiment that could safely be carried out on the chasm has already been performed countless times, and still so little is known about the bottomless gorge. Future discoveries, they are told, must arise from more esoteric means. Yet a blazing, pulsing beam of energy is still fired down into the chasm from the very heart of Anil Kesh, seeking information and readings. On the fourth day, the Sith Master frees them from his instruction and tells them that their new masters will be introducing themselves that evening. The rest of the day is their own.
"I'm going to look at it," Lannery tells Dale. "I'm going outside to see."
She means the chasm. Even uttering those words causes a flutter of trepidation and excitement in her stomach. She is about to confront something that is still a mystery to even the greatest Jedi, and she wants to do so with her brother. But it's too late.
"It's nothing, really," he says matter-of-factly. "Deep, stormy. I've been out there four times a day since we've been here. I'm more interested in the temple than the chasm, though. Have you seen how long the temple legs are? Have you felt how much it flexes in the wind?"
He is toying with her, and he knows that she knows. But he doesn't care. His vision is elsewhere now, always. And soon, something is going to happen. Maybe one day she'll wake up, Dale will be gone, and she'll never see him again. Or perhaps it will be worse than that.
"I'm going to look at it,"
she says again, and as she pushes past Dale, she feels rather than sees his silent chuckle. There are steps that lead up onto a gangway and outside. The heavy metal doors are always kept locked on the inside, as though something from beyond might wish to gain entry. But the dangers are far less physical. She spins the locking handle on a door, and it swings inward. The blast of air is shocking. Loaded with warm raindrops, gushing against her like the breath of an unimaginable monster, it carries the smell of something mysterious and deep. Rain patters across the floor and spreads inside, and Lannery feels a moment of panic. What has she let in? She makes a quick decision and steps outside, pulling the door closed behind her. Above her arcs one of the three great curving arms of the temple. They act both as counterbalances to the legs, and also as transmitters and receivers, gathering atmospheric charge to fuel Anil Kesh's experiments, and sending out messages from the temple masters to other Jedi across Tython and beyond. Its mass shelters her somewhat from the storms. But she can still look down. She walks to the edge of the wide viewing platform and grips the railing. She feels the weight of Anil Kesh behind her, and the protective arms seem to hold her within their shadowy grasp. The temple feels on the breath of the chasm, and its sturdy legs absorb every subtle impact of the wind.
"You always move, seeking to draw my eyes," she says.
It is a line from a love poem she once read in an old paper book of her mother's, and she wonders whether the poet had ever visited this place. Looking down, she wonders whether all Jedi are in love with the chasm. It is mystery. It is depth and infinity on the surface of this world they deign to call their home. Its breath is warm and loaded, and deeper down through the mist of torrential rain, she can see the frequent flash of Force lightning, erupting in the darkness and illuminating nothing. It is dizzying and thrilling, terrifying and wonderful. She grips the railing so hard that her fingers hurt and her knuckles turn white, not sure she can ever let go. There is a brief, ecstatic moment when she is tempted to lift herself over the railing and fall. It will end in death, but she will also get to see the chasm's depth, to know its secrets.
It cannot be bottomless. They only say that because no Jedi has reached its bottom and lived. Or none have gone down there and returned,
she whispers, the words immediately stolen by the wind. She is drenched through by the rain. The storm whips curtains of water back and forth across the chasm below her. She feels a hand on her shoulder and instantly fears it is Dale come to do her harm.
I am the chasm, he said,
perhaps meaning that he is a mystery to her now, with a mind that no Jedi will ever be able to fully understand. Lannery freezes. She cannot fight back because she is too shocked and too overcome with a sense of infinity. But then a warm voice says,
Come inside, Lannery, where we can begin our talk.
That first meeting with Master Dan Powell extends long into the night.
I told you to never get in my way.
Darkness.
Pain.
She heard her own ragged breathing, felt the troubled beating of her heart. Her head throbbed and pulsed, the core of a raging sun in the center of her brain. And she knew that voice.
I never thought they'd send you after me.
She opened her eyes, but the brightness hurt. She closed them. The pain was a weight crushing every part of her. Her scalp was wet and warm, and everything was red. Normally a calm sea, the force within her was now a raging river of confusion.